Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 25 years.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm. We are an independent mid-list publisher based in Portland, Oregon, and Cleveland, Ohio. We have over 700 books, over 25 employees, and we make about 40 new books every year. And we distribute thousands of titles from other publishers.
We started this podcast so that we can share what we've learned with newer publishers so that you can learn from our mistakes.
Or maybe you just want to understand the publishing industry.
This week, we are going to talk about what we learned at the Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association show.
What is that?
Commonly known as PNBA, not to be confused with the weightlifting people who...
Oh, yes, the Bodybuilding Association.
The Bodybuilding Association.
They really have better SEO.
They really rule Instagram, but then again, I guess one of us has a little bit more to show off than the other, depending how you look at it. And it's the booksellers, but for some reason, the bodybuilders took over Instagram.
Books get bigger and bigger every year, so...
And stronger and smarter.
And cooler.
Mightier.
Take that, bodybuilders.
Yeah, they just don't know. But the PNBA show is part of the PNBA organization, which is one of a series of regional shows that is part of the American Booksellers Association, which is the national association for people that sell books, believe it or not.
So what happens at these shows?
So, frequent consumers of this pod will know that most publishers delegate all street-level marketing of their books to booksellers, which are loosely defined as people that work in bookstores. And so at these shows, those booksellers learn about publishers' new books, and then they learn how to hand-sell them, they learn... You know, what the new titles are, they learn what is interesting and notable about them, and they learn, ostensibly, like, which ones are appropriate for their store.
And they often get a lot of free samples.
Right, I suppose, depending how you look at it, the value proposition may be the number of free books you can go home with.
So there's a bunch of different ways that these shows have devised for publishers to pay to show their books to booksellers. You can, like, have your author come and give a 5-minute talk at breakfast, or you can, like, stand up in front of a room full of sales reps and present your front list, or you can exhibit in their exhibit hall, which is what we did.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there's a lot of author signing events where, you know, you can wait in line to get an autographed copy of a children's book about a whale, or, like, an adult book about psychology, or... various other books, or like even like really niche indie books. And so that's sort of the fascinating thing about the regionals, is they hold up the independent about as mightily as the much more moneyed Big Five book.
So we went this year. It was last weekend.
We did.
When we're recording this, I guess it'll be 2 weeks ago when we post this. But we learned things, and we're going to share them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I learned that if you do not give booksellers a way or place to congregate for 2 years, even the most introverted people become devout extroverts.
There was a lot of chatting and catching up. It was like a camp reunion. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's like if family reunions weren't the worst thing, but like you could in fact just like have all the good parts of a family reunion.
Totally. It's like everyone is used to seeing each other once a year, and you don't really have a lot of opportunities to build animosity.
And it was positive. You know, I felt like in so many different ways, It just seemed like people, you know, it felt a lot more open this year. It felt a lot more like booksellers were just, you know, like they love books again. And the other, you know, and I guess I didn't really learn this, but I sort of determined this based on the events of the past, you know, 19 months, is that, you know, people that survived the economic crash of 2007, 2008, 2009, depending on if you're international, that really became a best of the best of surviving bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
And by best of the, I mean, and I don't know, maybe to exhibit some bit of my bias, a lot of those are the ones that are a little more business savvy and, you know, they kind of have their act together. They're not just, you know, trying things. You know, they sort of have a little bit more numbers acumen. And, you know, those bookstores are just much more able to pivot. They're much more inclined to find something that works. And so because of that, we saw a lot of stores opening new locations. We saw a lot of stores expanding their square footage. We saw a lot of stores that are new in the past year.
Yeah, the new stores. That was so cool to see. Mm-hmm. They've got, like, built-in resilience.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they just didn't know the world before. And, you know, and so in that way, it's, like, a great time to open a bookstore because it's, like, if you can do it under these conditions. I mean, there's a restaurant that opened next door to our house, which...
And it's like, thriving.
It's like if you can open a restaurant during COVID, you can do anything.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Good
and,
work.
And it's sort of the same way with these bookstores because, you know, they're just, you know, they're doing it. And, you know, if you're going to do it now, you're going to succeed, you know, as tiring as these past 2 years have been. What did you learn?
I, like you, I really enjoyed soaking up the sweet good vibes. I was a little chagrined to see how, you know, the very first thing I noticed at my first PNBA 5 or 6 years ago was how white the room was, and that really hasn't changed. Our industry is very, racially homogenous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
You learned that it has not changed, and it's, yeah, and I guess that's always
guess it has changed a little. Like, I would say it's, like, you know, it used to be, like, 2% non-white, and now it's, like, 5% non-white.
Right. But it's, like, I mean, and you know, to me, the point of this was always that, like, the event was homogenous in just about every way, you know, in terms of, like, the kind of an amount of education of the people that attend and the sort of economic background and living conditions growing up of the people who attend and, you know, which, like, informs the kind of books they buy and are interested in and, like, what they see as relevant and not interesting and et cetera, you know. Which has maybe led me to always believe that that's why I consider most books so not interesting. But here we are, you know. So, you know, and this has been sort of the struggle of the past 5 years is the Borg suddenly grew self-awareness around this issue and has been getting over its defensiveness to be like, oh, we really should do something about that. Who has answers? And, you know, and then being a little bit slow to adapt and adopt those. But
I guess things are changing. Like, you know, if representation doubled in the last 5 years, then if it doubles again in the next 5 years and in the next 5 years, then, you know, it'll only be a few decades before it's really changed.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I guess this
book selling is books are a slow business.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you have to think about the fact of, like, the book industry is still existing in the 1970s in, like, so many different aspects that,
yeah,
you know, like, why wouldn't it exist in the 1970s demographic makeup?
Well, something that really did give me hope was, so, like, I guess a couple aspects to this. First, the Big Five were not in attendance except Simon & Schuster. And normally, like, they're all there, and they all have a bunch of booths, and they kind of dominate the room, and they, like, kind of suck up a lot of the attention, because they're honestly giving away the most free books.
And, I mean, a lot of those stores need the sales from those titles, mm-hmm. because that's what their customers are expecting of them.
Which leads me to the other cool part, which is that because that wasn't, they weren't really, because the Big Five weren't really there and overwhelming it, all of the smaller presses had room to shine,
yeah.
and got, I feel like, a lot more attention and interaction and time with the booksellers.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of part of what, you know, we've been talking about supply chains a lot on this podcast and how there's, like, kind of a supply chain crisis going on. And, like, if, you know, like, one conversation I had with several people was about how, like, you know, people in the U.S. are predominantly buying and reading, like, the same 10 books, you know, like, the same top sellers, most of them from the Big Five. And, like, if they can't all get them when they want them, they're gonna
maybe read something else, and maybe that would be from a smaller press, or maybe that would be like a cool backlist title. And so it was kind of cool to see that shift happening. And then like the other part of that, I guess on the third hand, is just, it was really cool to see how the publishers had kind of a, maybe not time, but like opportunity and necessity in the last 2 years to like rethink their businesses and to start to grow in new and interesting ways.
Yeah.
You know, like we saw, like my favorite examples are Blue Cactus Press, run by Christina Butcher. And she like, you know, signed up with a distributor and then ended up leaving that distributor and taking what she learned to like grow her press in a way that is more true to what she wants to do.
Does that sound familiar to you?
It sounds a little familiar. Go, Christina, we're rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were sitting next to Chin Music Press, where the publisher, Bruce, I mean, he's been at it as long as we have or longer, right?
I don't think quite as long as we have, but...
He's been at it for a long time, and he's always been very deliberate about, like, growing really slowly and just putting out a few books a year, and they're all, like, the most beautiful books you've ever seen, like, so well thought out. And he realized, like, he doesn't want to be the person leading the growth, but his business associate, Carla... maybe does. So he like set her up with an imprint and she's running with it, and it's super cool to see. So I feel like, yeah, the pandemic has made people kind of rethink. It's made us all rethink what we're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think first there was a James Daunt, the new CEO of Barnes & Noble, had a very like polished for the press quote that was like, when you go to the grocery store and they're out of milk, you go home empty-handed. But when you go to a bookstore and they don't have the book you're looking for, there's thousands of books, and some of them are even better than the one you want.
And almost guaranteed.
They can all fulfill your needs, you know, which is totally true. And I think that is sort of the mentality that, like, we're leaning into more as an industry. And, you know, and yeah, and I think that is sort of the fascinating thing, maybe, dare I say, the best thing about COVID is that it made people finally unable to ignore the dysfunctional aspects of their store or publishing company, you know, or even as an author.
Yeah, and it like makes you really like rethink the crappy things that you take for granted.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, it's like, the best way to grow is the time, you know, I mean, it's not great to be forced to grow, but it is great when you can stop and see and sort of resonate with those lessons and then internalize them.
So did you find this event as sort of like socially overwhelming as I did? Like, just, we haven't really been around that many people or had that many conversations in the last 2 years.
I mean, as much as I find every event socially overwhelming, you know, I mean, it was more that this time it was just different in that I was more cognizant of it because it's been over a year, you know, and so I did feel that I was often like, you know, I had very pre-planned set of objectives for when, before we got there, amazingly, all of which I accomplished.
Damn.
When can you say that? And, you know, accomplished within 24 hours after getting home. And, but yeah, in general, I mean, I don't enjoy socializing in that way. I do enjoy the energy, and I enjoy the momentum, and I enjoy kind of the desperation even of that kind of event. So, you know, I mean, in this way, it was really no different than socializing pre-pandemic, other than like I was more aware.
Maybe I got a glimpse of what it's like for you to socialize under normal conditions.
There you go. Where it's like everything is too much and you can't, you know, and then it's like, I mean, do you have this experience where you could go home and then you think of all the things that you like could have said or did or pursued?
No, I more think of the things that I regret saying and doing, pursuing.
Oh, yeah, I despite what you may believe, I am intentional with my modicum of word choices.
I'm aware.
But it is, yeah, it is an interesting thing to have that. And I mean, it was funny that most of the people that I talked to about their experience afterwards said that they regretted not socializing more.
So we did, I did, one of my objectives at PNBA was to promote this podcast, and I did kind of sell it to everyone on, like, 5 to 10 minute episodes. So it's funny that we're kind of going over and having more chit-chat on this episode, but I'd say let's go all in and have one last topic, which was, like, what was the coolest, most inspiring thing that you saw there?
Just seeing people, you know, because, so for the past year... 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, almost 10 years. Yeah, it was really the mantra of publishing was, when is it going to go back to the way that it used to be? And this was the first event that I went to where people were like, I figured out the new way of how I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And it was no longer, when will the world, when will time... when will my time machine come into being? Because you're like, that's not how anything works.
We've moved on. We finally moved on from 2012.
Yes, or 2000, yeah.
Or sooner.
What about you?
I've been thinking, I saw a lot of exhibit tables that I liked, and I think my favorite one was this woman who had one book called Reed Island, which was a very cool children's book about animals reading on a kind of pirate island.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing the kind of normal trade show thing where the person with one book has these like kind of 2 to 3 sad piles of that book on the big empty table and is just kind of sitting there looking hopeful, she had like created all these stickers and greeting cards and like other like little merchy things and sidelines that tied in with the creatures in her book. And she had this whole, like kind of colorful, fun display with tons of things to look at. And then she also, like, had a little extra room, so she invited a friend who had a middle grade novel to, like, you know, show her novel. And I just, like, really, that just reminded me of, like, being at the Zine Fest or being at the Punk Show merch table where somebody had, like, really, you know, thought beyond the book and made it not just about the book and, like... Yeah, I don't know. That gave me like feelings of hope that we can do it better.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yes, that is a great visioning. So another thing on our final note, one thing we're considering is switching to 2 episodes per week.
Oh yeah.
So maybe if you can respond in the comments if you would want 2 episodes per week or if you like it at 1.
And also, like, what topics should we cover? Send us ideas at podcast@microcosmpublishing.com.
Mm-hmm. And if we've already answered your question, we will send you that episode. If we haven't, we will make a new episode. Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.